Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, May 10, 2017. The new SPLA chief talks peace.
The country is actually in conflict by itself, but my colleagues behind here, I believe that they are right people who will be posted in the right places and will be able to manage the situation and will exit from this conflict.
And residents of Juba Town have mixed reactions to the changes in the leadership of the South Sudan Army.
He's not fired as a general, he's still within the general. He can also lead his militias within the country.
I think it's okay, because, people need to be given an opportunity to have new rulers.
People were suffering. People were even fearing. People were just urinating inside because of the fearings.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir has sworn in General James Ajong Mawood as new SPLA Chief of General Staff after firing General Paul Malong from the position on Tuesday. Ajong says he will work to implement the security arrangements stipulated in the August 2015 peace agreement and end the fighting in the country. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Amid tight security in and around Presidential Palace, or J1, General James Ajongo was sworn in today in front of a small audience of government officials by Chief Justice Chanorich Madut. Afterward, Ajongo told the waiting reporters he recognizes that the ongoing conflict is South Sudan's biggest problem.
I know it's a difficult task, given the fact that the country is in conflict by itself, but making use of our good human resource, my colleagues behind here, I believe that they are right people who will be posted in the right places and will be able to manage the situation and will exit from this conflict.
Like his predecessor, General Malong, Ajongo hails from Awil in the former northern Bahr El Ghazal state. Presidential spokesman Atteni Wek Atteni describes Ajongo as a career soldier who has served in the army his entire life.
James Ajongo is the general of the SPLA. He's a former deputy chief of general staff for administration and finance. He has never left an SPLA for one day. He has been in the SPLA since 1983, and he has never taken any government position like Malong.
As army chief, Ajongo says he will address the mushrooming of various armed groups across South Sudan who are fighting to topple President Salva Kiir's government.
The issue of the armed groups is in the agreement. So whether you want it or not, then you don't need it. So we are going to deal with them based on what is in the agreement.
Ajongo says the 2015 peace agreement is the only solution to the ongoing conflict. He says he will work to ensure that security arrangements as stipulated in the peace agreement are implemented, but says financial constraints could hamper his efforts.
Those who negotiated the agreement brought together the parties to sign the agreement. They know very well that you cannot implement this agreement without you having funds. Money.
General Ajongo is calling on the guarantors to the peace deal, including those in the international community and regional leaders, to fund implementation of the peace agreement. He says unless regional leaders and the international community back the government's efforts to implement the deal by funding the process, there will be little progress on the peace agreement. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Former SPLA General Chief of Staff Paul Malong Awon, who sometimes is referred to by his supporters as King Paul, was appointed by President Salva Kiir in 2014. But since taking office, he has never seen peace in his country. For VOA News, Tito Justin tracks Malong's life and his race to power.
Paul Malong was born in the early years of 1950s in Wara Awar, north of Awil Town in the former northern Bahr El Ghazal state. In 1969, he attended basic school in his home village before completing his intermediate school at St. James in Khartoum. While in Khartoum, he heard about the Nden Anyanya, a military and political movement like the SPLA formed to fight the Sudan government. Malong left school and came back to Awil to form Anyanya II in Bahr El Ghazal area, particularly in his hometown of Awil in 1970s, which later became part of the Sudan People's Liberation Army. In 2005, Malong set up the South Sudan Presidential Guards Unit of the Army and became commander of the Republican Guards. He also served as one of the deputies of the National Intelligence and Security Services in Khartoum after the signing of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement in 2005. Malong was promoted to the rank of general by Sudan President Omar al-Bashir that same year. In April 2008, General Malong was appointed governor of Northern Barghazali State. In 2009, President Omar al-Bashir promoted him to the rank of lieutenant general. After the December 15, 2013 crisis, Malong was removed from his position as governor of former Northern Barghazali State and appointed as chief of general staff of the Sudan People's Liberation Army on April 24, 2014, a position he held until yesterday. After he took oath, General Paul Malong Awan promised to restore law and order in South Sudan. Since his appointment in 2014 to head the country's army, fighting has continued across the country and has even spread to areas that were previously calm. General Malong has been accused of recruiting pro-government militias known as the Matiang Anyor, who have been accused of attacking civilians in Wau, Yei, Kajokeji, Parajok, Magui, and Morobo in the former Central Equatoria State. Supporters nicknamed him King Malong as he is feared for his lack of remorse. Malong arrived in Yerol of the former Lake State today, where he was received by supporters who cheered him. This Pelemin opposition has accused Malong of directing the fighting at the presidential palace that broke out last July. A UN panel of experts report implicated Malong for ordering attacks on residents who lived in the house of former first vice president Riek Machar last year. Machar fled the capital to the Democratic Republic of Congo and is now residing in South Africa. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
Awil residents worry about security in their town now that former SPLA chief of staff Paul Malong is reportedly heading home to Awil with a heavily armed military convoy. There are pictures of Malong on the social media taken during his arrival today at Yerol in the Eastern Lake State. Some area residents say they fear there could be clashes between government forces and those allied to Malong. Abraham Agod has more for VOA from Awil.
Awil resident Abraham Wolcom says he fears the security situation could deteriorate rapidly in Awil with the sacking of General Malong.
The presidential decree that relieved the SPLA chief of general staff was a surprising decree and quite unusual of its kind, because I feel that the decree in course will even increase present political crisis in the nation and may spark further splits across the nation. And as I speak now, Juba has been deserted. The SPLA chief of general staff has left with a huge number of forces.
Wall says President Kiir's decision to relieve General Malong of his duties was done at the wrong time, and he wants the international community to intervene.
It is actually going to affect the security stability of the region, and it is going to be immeasurable, an impact that will actually affect the citizens across the region, if not controlled immediately.
Awil resident Dengiel Mungok says the decision to sack Malong is politically motivated, and he too fears his sacking of General Malong will increase insecurity in parts of South Sudan, especially Awil.
The removal of General Chief of Staff, Mr. Paul Malong Awan, has destabilized security mostly in some part of the county. But I myself, I don't support the decision that the president has taken. But the intervention behind the removal of General Chief of Staff is what I have seen personally. But for me, this thing depends on the progress of the security. I cannot say that I will not take my wife or my child to the the rural area.
President Mayan Tong fears the sacking of Malong could lead to another rebellion.
I'm not feeling well, simply because maybe in his plan, we don't know what this guy will decide to do. Since you have been a chief of general staff for the army, he has the power and he's being removed now. Maybe he can decide to rebel against the current government.
A Will State Government Information Minister, James Weomayol, is urging civilians to stay calm, insisting the security situation is under control. Repeated calls to SPLA spokesman Lul Kong and Lul Roy Kong and his deputy colonel Santo Dominic to confirm Malong's whereabouts when unanswered. For VOA News, I am Abraham Ogoth reporting in a Will.
A South Sudanese analyst says Paul Malong Awon is an influential figure in the SPLA, but his removal will not impact the overall conflict in South Sudan. Brian Adeba, Associate Director of Policy at the Washington-based Enough Project, says although Malong is a powerful figure, not much will change under the leadership of General James Ajong Mawut, who has followed the footsteps of Malong.
I see very little impact, really. If you see his replacement, the replacement is a man who is literally a protege of Malong. He was active in the war fronts in Unity State and up in the Greater Upper Nile at the beginning of this war. He's been pictured with Malong at theaters of operation. So he is literally a protege or following directly in the footsteps of Malong in terms of operational strategy, philosophy. So there's still going to be very little impact, really. It's just a change of office from one person to another, and the new person is similar to the other person in terms of the thinking on what needs to happen. So that itself is not going to impact a lot on the ground. What really needs to happen is the politicians have to take charge and map a direction where individuals that become too powerful in the military and refuse to subscribe to, you know, the tenets of the Constitution. You know, the office of the Chief of Defense Staff here is an office that serves at the discretion of the president and the pleasure of the president. And so when you're removed, why should that be a problem? So those are the things that we need to look at. Back again to the question of strengthening institutions and respect for these institutions.
So you don't think that this will be a game changer?
It is only a game changer in as far as the politicians, and here I'm talking about the president, wants it to be. And what should really happen is to reorient the thinking from the hawkish stance that people like Paul Malong had to, you know, explore the possibility of a peaceful resolution to this conflict in South Sudan.
How much influence did Malong have, and what does his firing mean for the people who are loyal to him?
He had a lot of influence. He was given free rein to recruit what essentially is what has been called by the African Union and other reports from the UN as a tribal army, you know. So that means he held a lot of sway. When you have an army that is subservient to you based on ethnicity, that's a problem. And that, again, speaks to what I mentioned earlier, the abuse of the Constitution. The abuse of our institutions of governance to mitigate differences like this, to create a sense of our accountability and equity. So his removal will impact the clan base. We have to remember that this is a kleptocracy, and in a kleptocracy, at the top of the pyramid, there's a big man, and beneath him, there are so many beneficiaries. So the beneficiaries will be affected.
And what does this decision say about Kiir himself?
I don't know whether this will say something about his strategy. I can't read the leaves on this one, but I certainly hope that it is a move that is taken in good stride, essentially, to bring peace. I mean, there are hawks in government who are bent on pursuing war and ending this conflict through war, and that's not tenable. Hopefully, this removal will reorient the thinking of the president, I hope so, towards peace.
That was Brian Adeba, the Associate Director at the Enough Project, speaking to Ayen Beer from his office in Washington. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what is the impact of the changes in the leadership of the South Sudan Army? hear what people have to say when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
in a disagreement, do you stand your ground or compromise quickly?
Well, I will try to avoid, avoid going so far with that person, not to reach a point of fighting with someone. And I will try to avoid having attitude with that person, because usually people, personality is different.
I cannot compromise quickly if I know that I'm right. So I have to stand on my grounds.
Yeah, I do. I compromise. In disagreement, first time I have to first keep quiet, then I think about it. Sometimes we also may do wrongs. You may think that you are right, but when you go back and sit and think twice, you may discover that you are the one in the wrong.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Residents of Juba woke up this morning wondering how the changes at the leadership of the South Sudan Army will impact their lives. Nabil Biagio talked to people in Juba to find out what they think about the firing of Paul Malong as SPLA chief of staff.
It is a good thing, because since Malong was appointed, we have no any security, good security. People were suffering. People were even fearing. People were just urinating inside because of the fearings.
General Malong has been working for the last 3 or so years. And since then, of course, peace has not been realized. Whether it is his problem or not, but we believe also if somebody else comes, he will come with new ideas and we see how he can run the army.
I was worried, because yesterday when we sat just with some of my friends, and all of a sudden I saw guys, people around me started moving and shops were getting closed. It was a bit still all around 7. Even after now, I'm still worried. Everybody's just suspecting like there will be like fighting again. So I feel bad.
I think it's okay, because people need to be given an opportunity to have new rulers. Because if someone stays in power for a long time and things are not working out, then why should this person stay there? He needs to be removed. People should not be scared that anything is going to happen. It was just time for him to be removed.
This is how personally I look at it. Everybody wants to observe the change which is going to come, so people have questions to ask. What is going to take place? How is it going to impact? Is it going to be positive or negative? Personally, I'm happy about it. It's going to be positive.
I don't feel there is something new. Paul Malong was removed. That does not mean that it will change the image of this regime. And also, it does not mean that you can bring reforms in the country, because Paul Malong will be within the system. He's not fired as a general. He's still within the general. He can also lead his militias within the country. At last, these are all joint council of elders. They have the same agenda to get rid of people who want reforms in the country.
Our women were being raped and there is nothing being taken. Even the girls were all being raped and there were no any other issues being taken upon it. So we need the changes to be taken, so that we as a women, we can stay free in our houses.
People thought that maybe resettlement in the system may cause havoc here and there. That's why citizens got panicked. And I'm appealing on my capacity as a citizen to the institution where the leadership was relieved to accept the new leadership. What we want is peace and security in South Sudan.
Some voices of South Sudanese on the streets of Juba talking about the changes in the leadership of the South Sudan Army. Nabil Biagio collected that audio in Juba. Women rights activists in Imatong State accuse SPLM party leaders of failing the people of South Sudan. The activists say the ruling party leaders are corrupt and focused on retaining power rather than helping ordinary citizens. Some women in the state capital, Torit, say party officials can fix the country's problems if they let go of tribalism and corruption. Dimo Silva Aurelio has the story for VOA from Torit.
Women at a weekend conference in Torit organized by the SPLM and an interchurch committee say since South Sudan declared its independence in 2011, SPLM leaders have been massing personal wealth from the National Treasury at the expense of citizens. Participant Dawa Thomas says party officials, including the country's top leadership, are greedy for power and are responsible for the widespread corruption in South Sudan.
The corruption is too high, whereby is making now people who are not working like me, they are becoming now useless people in South Sudan, let me say it. Because now in South Sudan, those who are working, they will get something, they will give to their children by the end of the month. But now, those ones who are not working, due to corruption, now the high corruption that is in the country, you will see, I will go and collect all the money if I'm a cashier. I collect the money. After paying people the balance of money, I will take to my home. That is corruption. So we need really to avoid this word corruption.
Dawa says SPLM leaders must also stop inflaming tribal tensions and give all South Sudanese equal opportunities to contribute to their country's development, regardless of their ethnicity.
Every time we are having chaos because of tribalism. And if we stop tribalism, I think this fighting will not go ahead and we shall have peace.
Flora Eleha, an SPLM party leader in Imotongi State, admits the SPLM has failed to lead South Sudan in a manner South Sudanese expected when they fought it for independence 6 years ago. She accuses some SPLM leaders of abandoning the goals of the freedom fighters in the drive for power.
Our party lose their objectives, what they have decided before that. They are coming to give freedom to people. They have come to solve the problem of South Sudan. Now they have left those things aside. Now they put the position, the money in their mind. Everybody come and fight for the position.
Peter Sander, chairperson of the Interchurch Committee, which helped facilitate the conference to brainstorm issues for the national dialogue, says citizens are fed up with the way the SPLM is ruling the country.
Why is this political party which is leading us failing? That is also another the topic we get here. What is the problem? So these are the topics, and more is still coming. This is a sign that people are all in need of peace. People felt that they have to say something. And it is good that all of us can say something, because always in peace building, you have to open the hearts of people and allow everybody to express free expression.
Florence Oto, a lawmaker in the Imotongi State Assembly, says despite the humanitarian, political and economic crisis, ruling party officials still have a chance to correct the mistakes they have made.
When we got our referendum, we thought that was the end of the suffering of the people of the Republic of South Sudan. But all in all, things went wrong. But as a citizen of this country, and as one of the role models in Imatong State, I believe peace is possible.
Antipas Nyoka, SPLM Secretary for Political Affairs and Moral Orientation, acknowledges that some top party leaders have behaved badly.
There are some individuals within the party, within the SPLM, some individual members and individual leaders who try to destroy or to tarnish the image of the SPLM by doing disservice to our people, and by doing things that tarnish the name of the SPLM as individual. But as we experience, as time goes, SPLM from time to time as an organization shall continue to improve its image and try to resolve its own problem, and then help people of South Sudan also to solve and resolve their own problems. So very soon, SPLM will also learn from mistakes of some of the individual members within the party, whether at the level of membership or at the level of leadership.
Nyok says the struggle for power has led to the country's ongoing crisis.
The issues of power struggle supposed to be handled with care, so that the SPLM have a smooth transfer of power.
Nyok hopes the South Sudanese people express their grievances against the ruling party when and if the much talked about national dialogue finally begins. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
South Sudanese traders who used to work in the border town of Nimule say harassment by security personnel fighting in the area and hyperinflation has forced them to relocate their businesses to the Ugandan side of the border. Simon Peter Apiku reports for VOA from Adjumani district in northern Uganda.
Most of the traders have established small businesses in Adjumani town, where they rent shops and trade in general merchandise. The traders say they are happy with the security situation in Uganda, but overall business is slow here and profit margins are much lower. Joseph Taban, who runs a shop in Adjumani town, says he decided to move his business away from Nimule because he was tired of being constantly threatened by security operatives who suspected him of supporting rebels loyal to former First Vice President Riek Machar.
When we were there, of course, we the traders, we used to be harassed by government soldiers actually. So sometimes whenever you bring goods to Bishol, they can accuse you that, okay, you are transporting this good to the rebels in the bush.
Nicholas Angu, who also used to do business in Nimule, says some traders falsely accuse other traders of being sympathizers of SPLM-IO rebels in order to eliminate competition because they know suspects are typically either rounded up or forced to flee the country.
There we are selling freely, but once if the discipline is spotted you that you are collaborating with the IO, all those people in the bush, once somebody alleges like that, you are in a problem.
John Loko, another trader now based in Adjumani, says renewed fighting in the capital and other parts of the country in July caused many people around the Nimule area to flee to Uganda. As a result, he says, he lost a large number of his customers. Loko says this, coupled with the depreciation of the South Sudanese pound, made doing business in Nimule unprofitable.
There are few people, few customers, and inflation continuously without end. It affects us so much, and it has cut some of our capitals.
Angu, Loko, and Taban all say they no longer worry about their personal safety in Uganda, but complain that business is not as good as across the border in South Sudan.
In Uganda here, the business is not, it is not like there in Nimule. There in Nimule, we found that there's a thing you make a lot of profit, but here the profit margin is very little.
Loko says there's much lower turnover rate for retail commodities. He says sometimes products remain in shops so long that they expire before being sold.
You say physically, but business is very slow. You bring things for 1 month, can last maybe for 2 months before it gets finished. Another thing gets expired even.
And Taban says in Uganda they have added responsibilities, which means they end up spending much of their meager profits on things they did not have in South Sudan.
You need to pay school fees for the children. You need to cater for health service. You need to buy food, and there are a lot of expenses. Even the rent is a problem.
South Sudanese traders in Adjumani say they would like to remain in South Sudan, where business was good, but the ongoing conflict and economic turmoil make that impossible. For VOA News, I am Simon Peter Piku in Adjumani District, Northern Uganda.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with a love song by Panchol Deng.
Tu ayele ku kwanu na nyar kiyene kele ayai ndara nyara na ya kawobneng bai paya mukulen bagobin kin ayeng ya dyodian motraleng na bin bayu tani jalya ba kadinya dombi ayai nyara nyara na ya kawobneng bai paya mukulen bagobin kin dinga munyeri bana jedu bandu ajene kyanga kan ajage jen gang kawe jenge dor ajai nyara nyara na ya kawobnen bai bayamu kulyan badyobe yintin okye galene wari ekin ki pomyar koje ke bya kaenya nirikeyen ajai nyara nyara na ya kawobnen bai bayamu kulyan badyobe yintin.
We have been listening to Panchol Deng with that beautiful love song from Bahar al-Ghazal. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Udu wa yele, kumodu wa yele, kukwanu na mearki yene keile.